things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi!
Hi, Taylor!
Hi, Jenny!
What's up?
Not a whole lot. I'm almost out of wine. You are out of wine.
I am out of wine.
Do we need a refill?
Oh, wow. 30 seconds in, we're pausing for a refill?
Yeah.
Taylor, play soothing wine pouring sounds.
Got it.
Wine pouring ASMR. Oh, that was so satisfying.
That was nice. All right, yeah. Thanks. All right. And now we're ready. Welcome back.
I know it's been 1 second for you. It's been 10 minutes for us.
Why are we like this today?
We're struggling so hard.
Struggling deeply.
It's not even a disasters episode. It's a grab bag.
Truly. I'm very excited about my grab bags.
I don't know if I am.
Oh.
But that is only because...
Oh, no.
I had the stomach flu.
Yeah.
For like 3.5 days.
We put off recording until the last minute this week.
Oh, yeah. But it's all my fault.
You can't help that you have the stomach flu.
I have an affliction that when I have a fever above 100 degrees, it's like I took 8 shots of Fireball. Like, I have no recollection of an entire 3 days.
Oh, no.
And in those 3 days, I did my grab bag episode.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. There's probably going to be a lot of like on my end because I don't know what's in here.
All right, let's find out together.
It might be nonsense. It might be good. Who knows? Let's do it.
We're going to find out together.
Am I going to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You look nervous.
This is already starting out bad. I read the first sentence. Okay. This story is a real banger.
Oh no.
It'll really light up your day.
Oh no.
Some might say this story is explosive.
Jenny.
It might get you really fireworked up. I wrote that.
Jenny.
It's about fireworks.
I don't have any puns written down.
Oh my god, why am I like this? Jesus. Okay, well, this is the Tangerang firework disaster.
Yay!
Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed by my own actions. On October 16th, 2017, there was an accidental ignition of stored fireworks in the Tangerang, Indonesia, at the PT Pangka Buana Cahaya Sukesis.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
That was rough. It's a firework manufacturing facility in Kosambi, Tangerang. The explosion occurred in a warehouse connected to the factory, and it ignited a massive fire. 103 people were working at the factory at the time of the explosion. 49 people were killed.
Oh my god!
46 were injured. Authorities confirmed that several people were still missing. It was the deadliest industrial accident ever in Indonesia. Initial investigation by the Indonesian National Police suggests that an accidental ignition of gunpowder caused the blast and fire. According to eyewitnesses, 2 explosions occurred at the site of the factory. The first explosion took place around 8:30 a.m. local time. The force of the explosion shook windows that were located at a radius of 4 kilometers from the blast site. The first explosion caused a massive fire inside the factory. A second explosion occurred around 3 hours later.
Oh my god.
A reported 103 workers were employed at the factory. So everybody who was employed was there.
Died.
Yeah.
Well, 49 of them. That's a lot.
49 died, 46 were injured. So.
Everybody.
Everybody but 20 people were messed up.
Not great odds.
Not great odds. Nearby residents stated that the explosion was similar to a massive bomb, and students at a nearby junior high school reportedly panicked, cried, and poured into the streets.
Oh my god.
And then they had to be evacuated.
Oh no.
The factory and the storage was not in the same building. However, the explosion ignited a fire, and the fire managed to spread all the way to the factory. Eyewitnesses reported that women and teenagers working at the factory or were working at the factory when the explosion occurred. So as the fire spread, panicked workers tried to flee from the site. As the fire started in the front part of the factory, factory workers fled to the backside. Eyewitnesses reportedly heard screams from the victims. Victims were also reportedly heard banging on the doors because they couldn't get out. Several people managed to get out from the factory and the side entrance, but they had to run through the flames.
Oh my God.
And then climb the gate.
Oh.
But most suffered from burn injuries. An eyewitness stated that a woman was on fire as she fled from the factory. And I do recall watching the video.
Oh my, why?
Boy, is it mesmerizing.
Oh no. To watch a building burn and people come out of it on fire?
A building of fireworks.
Oh, yeah, I bet that would be mesmerizing.
It was insane. You could almost hear the 1812 overture. So, that is a real bang-up job of a story, if I say so myself.
Oh my gosh. I can't with you.
We're not starting strong.
Not starting strong.
No. I hope yours is a lot better.
I have been the busiest I've been all year in the last 2 weeks.
Of course.
So I did my stories 2.5 hours ago.
Oh, okay, got it.
So I did not have time for puns.
Well, I also did text you this morning.
Do you want to do grab bags today?
Like, let's also do grab bag.
But I was also like, we have never been this down to the wire before. We're what? 14 weeks in, so it's not like we have like a long running history of being ahead of the game. But we almost always have two episodes kind of in the lead so we can
edit. Re-record if we need to.
Right. That is not today, friends.
No. This is flying by the seat of your pants amateur hour with Taylor and Jenny.
Here we go. So, I want to tell you about the weirdest day in New York City.
Pick a day,
any day. So there are over 8 million people that call New York City home.
Oh my God, that is so many people in one small, tiny place.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Brings me joy. The murder and crime rates are staggeringly high every day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 8 million people there. Oh, can't stand each other.
Murdered a day.
Well.
Oh.
Hang on.
Okay. All right. I'll just sit tight.
Yeah. So over 300 people were killed in New York City in 2009 or 2019. Sorry.
Whoa.
So I thought that this number would be much higher. And I read a statistic that said that there were something like six murders a day. But if we're thinking about six murders a day, then we're way more than 300 in a year. But this came from the New York .gov. So okay. That's what I'm going to trust. That number is small compared to the astronomically high number of people who were killed in 1990, the year of our Lord.
The year of us.
The year of us. The year of us. 2,262 people were murdered in New York City.
What?
2,262.
That is so many freaking people.
So many.
Why?
Drugs.
Okay.
Mostly.
Yeah.
There have been 160 murders in New York City year to date in 2020. They are braggy about it. And I'm like, y'all, we were in quarantine. Ain't nobody murdering in New York City in quarantine.
Why are you going to murder somebody from 6 feet away?
Right.
Oh, I mean, a gun. But.
True. But nobody's going anywhere.
Oh!
Okay, so however, on November 28th, 2012, something very strange happened.
Okay.
It was quiet in all departments of New York City. Not a single stabbing, gunshot, or slashing was reported in a 24-hour window.
What?
Yeah.
Not one
violent crime in the entire city.
Were they out of town?
I can just imagine, like, the police department sitting there, like, twiddling their thumbs. This isn't good.
Well, I would imagine that their first thought is, like, oh, no, something is wrong with the system, the operating system.
Yeah, yeah. So the next day, New York City celebrated its first nonviolent day in the city's history.
Woohoo! Good job, New York.
Yeah.
Boy, are we proud of you.
Yep. It has never happened since then and didn't happen before that. So it's the only day that has ever happened in New York.
The planets just aligned.
Truly.
Nothing was in retrograde. Everybody was making good, solid drug deals.
Yep. Yep. Love above that. Board. Everything was happening.
Good job, New York.
So that's the weirdest day in New York City.
That is a weird day.
Yeah.
It's a weird day. Oh, man. Well, my next story starts with the day.
All right.
It starts with January in 1980.
Hmm.
When 21-year-old Helen... Oh, Pruzniensky.
She's Polish.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Virgo. Helen.
Yeah.
Helen. Mm-hmm. Was found raped, bound, and stabbed to death in an empty field. Oh my god, that's horrible.
We're going downhill fast.
Oh, no. Investigators at the time believed the young college student was abducted while walking from a bus stop in Inglewood, Colorado. Jesse Still bought a DNA kit from 23. Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Okay. Oh my god. Sorry.
Hold on, this is so cool. Okay, Jesse Still bought a DNA kit from 23andMe to find out about her ancestry. Little did she know that it would put her in the middle of a 40-year-old cold case and into the debate about privacy concerns of a new law enforcement tool. Just a little.
Every time, Jenny.
Dang it, man. Her test results came back around the time that Joseph DeAngelo...
No.
What?
Is he the Golden State Killer?
What? Yes. Was arrested in 2018 for terrorizing California between the 1970s and 1980s.
Sorry.
Your gasp scared me. I was like, what's going on?
You're like, I don't know either.
I don't know who this is. I don't remember the story.
Sorry.
Police say they finally caught the notorious Golden State Killer because of the... You should have just hung in there.
Sorry.
Because of the Forensic Genetic Genealogy, FFG.
Okay, all right.
FGG involves going
FFG out... FFG or FGG?
FG, Forensic Genetic Genealogy.
Got it.
This group involves going outside the confines of law enforcement DNA databases to search through consumer DNA results on public websites like 23andMe, GenMatch, Ancestry. This relatively new DNA tool, though still rare in criminal investigations, is becoming increasingly popular. Still, a self-described true crime investigations enthusiast, she said her intrigue with the Golden State Killer case caught her attention and she wondered what she could do with her own DNA test kit's results. So she uploaded her DNA results to GenMatch, the public research website that allows consumers to find long-lost relatives through DNA. She was quoted, Jesse was quoted as saying, "I didn't really think anything would come of it. I just uploaded it on there, kind of forgot about it." And within 2 months, a cold case investigator from the Douglas County Sheriff's Department in Colorado sent her an email. She had been identified as a familial match to the suspect in Pruzinski's murder.
Wow.
For nearly 40 years, few leads and little evidence kept the case cold. But within months of getting her DNA profile on GenMatch, investigators found a new lead. Detectives said her DNA profile, a fleshed-out family tree, and traditional investigative tools to track down and arrest her distant cousin, James Clanton, for the 1980 rape and murder.
Get him!
Sentenced to jail for, like, a long time.
Nice.
Love it.
Everybody, send your DNA in. Just do it.
Yeah, do it. Listen, these DNA test kits in my family have really caused some havoc.
Stirred the pot.
We've outed not one, but two
secret
babies from the 60s.
Uh-huh.
I found my biological father's side of the family. Do it, but, like,
beware. Be prepared.
Better talk to your parents about it first. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they're right with the Lord.
Yup.
Or each other.
Yeah. Ooh, man. Yeah, I have a good friend, and they found that her husband had a son. And
did he not know?
He didn't know. And the granddaughter reached out to my friend and said, "I think I'm related to your husband."
Oh.
and they have adopted this entire family as part of their own.
See?
And I've had dinner with my friend and her brand new adopted granddaughter. It is the most wholesome, adorable thing that has ever come from an ancestor DNA, like,
ever.
Could have gone really poorly.
Could have gone south real quick.
Yeah. But no, she's got a great heart.
I will say the Seeger babies in our family have, it was tumultuous at first.
Sure.
But it has really turned into like a beautiful situation.
See, that's great. Yeah. You just have to be open to untraditional ideas.
Familial status.
Right. It's protected under the federal
Things were different.
Fair housing.
Things were different back then in the day.
Yeah.
You couldn't be an unwed mother. You could do, had no autonomy over what happened. So. Yeah, DNA tits. Real cool. Found out I'm part Italian. Now I make pasta a lot.
You do like to say the word fettuccine.
Parmigiano Reggiano. And I also like to say arrivederci.
I love that for you.
Thanks. Those are the only two Italian words I know.
I found out that I'm very much from like Wales. And I was not...
I believe that.
I mean, I see it. I'm very white.
It's real close to Ireland.
I'm about 20% Irish, and then the rest of it is Wales and United Kingdom.
I love that.
And okay. I thought I was very German, and I'm not very German.
Oh, okay.
All right. Cool. All right, so I'm going to tell you about some past life stuff.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right. So Ian Stevenson, MD, former chair of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Virginia School of Medicine.
Fucking smart boy.
Smart. Psychological. he's very science-y. So you would not think that he is somebody who believes in past lives.
However.
He interviewed and documented 200 children who had birthmarks corresponding to the wounds suffered during one of their past lives.
Me and my witch friends just talked about this Saturday at our Litha bonfire.
Right. So it's like something that I've always heard of is like, that's like an urban legend. Like, oh, your birthmark is where you died in a past life. Like, no, this guy went and studied this.
Like a science?
Yes.
Is there a science here?
So,
okay,
for example, one boy who remembered being shot in the head had a birthmark on the front of his head and one on the back. So,
where the bullet came out.
One woman who remembered being struck 3 times with an axe before her death had 3 linear birthmarks on her back. Stevenson noticed that many children who described past lives had odd birthmarks, and only about 50% of them could be explained by genetics, infections, or other physical causes. 35% of the children had phobias corresponding to the way they died, and many had a love for another culture's food or clothing. And that was mostly copied from a Bustle article written by Susanna Weiss.
Okay.
But Ian Stevenson has written many books, one of which called The Reincarnation in Biology, a Contribution to the Etiology of Birthmarks and Birth Defects, Volume 1, Birthmarks. By Ian Stevenson is a...
What a title.
Right. This book is 1,192 pages long.
I don't... That's a lot of words.
Yeah. It is a textbook going into detail on all of these cases.
Cool.
Right. So another book for our room we need.
Yeah.
You can purchase this book on Amazon. Brand new. For $326.
Oh, just a very cool $300.
Easy $326.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting because, you know, when you see numbers over and over again, $326 is something I've been seeing everywhere.
Oh, really?
Everywhere. And I've always seen it as, and I've always considered like 326 is my lucky numbers, but it's very recently that I've put it together that I always see them in that order.
What's your life path number? Do you know?
9.
Okay.
Which, I'm born in September, so
okay.
I think that has something to do it, but my birthday is 9/26.
Okay.
And the 3 just always gets put in there. But mm-hmm. And you can get it used for $139.
Oh, that's a little more reasonable.
So I was super fascinated by this. Mm-hmm. And I believe his like where he started. He started out not believing in past lives at all, and then interviewed so many people that were able to tell him things that just nobody should be able to know.
So a scientist changed his mind.
Right.
That is wild. I know. I love that.
Yeah. So that is some past life stuff for you.
So cool.
Love it.
I love that so much. Yeah, we were just talking about that, about how birthmarks are indicative of, like, scars mm-hmm. or ways that you died in your past life. Ironic. A lot of coincidences in that story, Jay.
Do you have any birthmarks?
You know, I do not have any, like, birthmarks.
I don't either.
Yeah. I have freckles, but it's because nobody believed in sunscreen in the 90s. My mom just, like, spritzed me down with lemon juice and pushed me into the sun right. for 12 hours.
Good luck.
Right. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Okay. Well, this one is, I do remember this.
Okay. Coming out of your stupor.
Coming out of my stupor. Because it was cool. So, this is...
A tale as old as time. Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. But literally, though, this is the oldest fairy tale known to man. Folklore is passed down orally, through centuries until the Brothers Grimm got a hold of these and then wrote them down and published
right.
these fairy tales. And because it's, like, the world's longest game of telephone, often a lot of, like, of the events and, like, particulars are altered to, like, fit the cultural and societal preferences of the time.
Sure.
So this one is, this version that I'm going to read you is Russian.
Okay.
And has a little bit of Catholicism in it, but it is able to be traced back almost 5,000 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So it is called The Smith and the Devil.
All right.
Let me put on my reading voice.
Please do.
Once upon a time, there was a smith, like a blacksmith.
Sure.
He had one son, a sharp, smart 6-year-old boy. One day the old man went to church, and as he stood before a picture of the Last Judgment, he saw a demon painted there. Such a terrible one, black, with horns and a tail. Oh my, says he to himself, suppose I get just such another painted for the smithy. So he hired an artist and ordered him to paint on the door of the smithy exactly such another demon as he had seen in the church. The artist painted it. Thenceforth, the old man, every time he entered the smithy, always looked at the demon and said, "Good morning, fellow countryman." And then he would lay the fire in the furnace and begin his work. Well, the smith lived in good accord with the demon for some 10 years. Then he fell ill and died. His son succeeded to his place as head of the household and took the smithy into his own hands. But he was not disposed to show attention to the demon as the old man had done. When he went into the smithy in the morning, he never said, "Good morrow." Instead of offering him a kindly word, he took the biggest hammer he had handy and thumped the demon with it 3 times right on the forehead, and then he would go to his work. And when one of God's holy days came round, he would go to the church and offer each saint a taper, but he would go up to the demon and spit in his face. Thus 3 years went by, he all the while favoring the evil one every morning either with a spitting or a hammering. The demon endured it and endured it, and at last found it past all endurance. It was too much for him. "I've had quite enough of this insolence from him," thinks he. "Suppose I make use of a little diplomacy and play him some sort of trick."
Oh, no.
So the demon took the form of a youth and went to the smithy. "Good day, uncle," says he. "Good day. What should you say, uncle, to taking me as an apprentice? At all events, I could carry fuel for you and blow the bellows." The smith liked the idea. "Why shouldn't I?" he replied. "Two are better than one." The demon began to learn his trade. At the end of a month, he knew more about the smith's work than his master did himself, was able to do everything that his master couldn't do. It was a real pleasure to look at him. There's no describing how satisfied his master was with him, how fond he got of him. Sometimes the master didn't go into the smithy at all himself, but trusted entirely to his journeyman who had complete charge of everything. Well, it happened one day that the master was not at home, and the journeyman was left all by himself in the smithy. Presently, he saw an old lady driving along the street in her carriage, whereupon he popped his head out of the doors and began shouting, "Hi, sirs, be so good as to step in here. We've opened a new business here. We turn old folks into young ones.
Ah.
Out of her carriage jumped the lady in a trice and ran into the smithy. What's that you're bragging about? Do you mean to say it's true? Can you really do it? She asked the youth. We haven't got to learn our business, answered the demon. If I hadn't been able to do it, I wouldn't have invited people to try. And how much does it cost? Asked the lady. 500 rubles altogether. Well then, here's your money. Make a young woman of me. The demon took the money and he sent the lady's coachman into the village. Go, says he, and bring me here 2 buckets full of milk. After that, he took a pair of tongs, caught hold of the lady by the feet, and flung her into the furnace. He burnt her up. Nothing was left of her but bare bones. When the buckets of milk were brought, he emptied them into a large tub. Then he collected all the bones and flung them into the milk. Just fancy. At the end of about 3 minutes, the lady emerged from the milk, alive, young, and beautiful. Well, she got into her carriage and drove home, and there she went straight to her husband, and he stared at her but didn't know she was his wife. What are you staring at? Said the lady. I am young and elegant, you see, and I don't want to have an old husband. Be off at once to the smithy and get them to make you young. If you don't, I won't so much as acknowledge you. With balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it.
There was no help for it. Off set the senor. But by that time, the smith had returned home and had gone into the smithy. He looked about, and the journeyman wasn't to be seen. He searched and searched. He inquired and inquired, and never a thing come of it. Not even a trace of the youth could be found. He took to his work by himself, and he was hammering away when at that moment up drove the senor and walked straight into the smithy. Make a young man out of me, says he. Are you in your right mind, Baron? How can one make a young man of you? Come now, I know all about that. The smithy said, I know nothing of the kind. You lie, you scoundrel. Since you made my old woman young, make me young too. Otherwise, there will be no living with her for me. Why haven't I so much as seen your good lady? Your journeyman saw her, and that's just the same thing. If he knew how to do the job, surely you, an old hand, must have learned how to do it long ago. Come now, set to work at once, and if you don't, it will be worse for you, and I'll have you rubbed down with a birch tree towel.
Oof.
I don't know what that is. Doesn't sound great.
Don't sound good.
No. The smith was compelled to try his hand at transforming the senor, and he held a private conversation with the coachman as to how his journeyman had set to work with the lady and what he had done to her, and then he thought, so be it, I'll do the same. If I fall on my feet, good. If I don't, well, I must suffer all the same. So he set to work at once, stripped the senor naked, laid hold of him by the legs with the tongs, and popped him into the furnace and began blowing the bellows. After he had burnt him to a cinder, he collected his remains, flung them into the milk, and then waited to see how soon a youthful senor would jump out of it. He waited 1 hour, 2 hours, but nothing came. He made a search in the tub, and there was nothing in it but bones and charred ones. Just then, the lady sent messengers to the smithy to ask whether the senor would soon be ready. The poor smith had to reply that the senor was no more. When the lady heard that the smith had only turned her husband into a cinder instead of making him young, she was tremendously angry, rightfully so.
V upset.
And she called together her trusty servants and ordered them to drag him to the gallows. No sooner said than done, her servants ran to the smith's house, laid hold of him, tied his hands together, and dragged him off to the gallows. All of a sudden, there came up with them the youngster who used to live with the smith as his journeyman, who asked him, "Where are they taking you, master?" "They're going to hang me," replied the smith, and straightway related all that had happened. "Well, uncle," said the demon, "swear that you will never strike me with your hammer, but that you will pay me the same respect your father always paid, and the senor shall be alive and young, too, in a trice." The smith began promising and swearing that he would never again lift his hammer against the demon, but it would always pay him every night attention. Thereupon, the journeyman hastened to the smithy, and shortly afterwards came back again, bringing the senor with him and crying to the servants, "Hold, hold, don't hang him. Here is your master." Then they immediately untied the cords, let the smith go free, and from that time forward, the smith gave up spitting at the demon and striking him with his hammer.
Yeah.
The journeyman disappeared and was never seen again, but the senor and his lady entered upon a prosperous course of life, and if they haven't died, they're living still. Which is like an actual line, like, fucking obviously, if you haven't died, you're living still.
Right.
But that is the oldest fairy tale, and I was just so impressed that the moral of the story is respect demons and evil just as much as you would respect your lord.
Because they will come for you.
Yes, they will. Karma. 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 It's the oldest story of karma.
Wow.
So, that is my fairy tale.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for hanging in there.
I was enthralled.
I'm so glad.
That was amazing. Good job. So, my last and final thing is a listener story.
Send us your listener stories. They make my heart happy.
Me too. Oh my god. I wish I could like track what my heart does when I see an email from a listener and I'm like,
record your Fitbit.
Yeah, I'd be like, it spikes. Okay. So this is from Abby, and she starts out, I have lost my place. This is great. Okay. Hello, ladies. As you have mentioned, the desire to share listener stories, I have one story that sticks out to me. More may arise to the surface from memories the longer I tune in, but here we go.
Okay.
I am a utility forester for the main power company in Kansas City. Mm. I walk the power lines looking at vegetation and know how close it is for safety. Power lines go all over the place, fields, ditches, forests, along rivers, in the back alleys, etc. I see a lot of things, 98% of which give me zero heebs.
No heeb alert.
Like a stove in the woods.
What? That would give me all the heebs.
Same. However, there are occasions when something sends up some red flags, like an abandoned building or a farmstead. This is one such time.
Ooh.
I was working along a country road, roughly an hour east of Kansas City. A couple of houses scattered here and there, mostly pasture lands. It was warm and sunny. I had been taking... Oh, no. Hold on. Sorry.
She had been taking
pictures of some flowers before doing my next span of work along the side of the road in a tall grassy ditch. I had only taken a few steps when I saw a large black trash bag.
Nope.
Pass. No. Normally, trash bags and dishes are just the thing that you walk around. People wrongfully dump garbage in the country all the time. But this particular trash bag was human-shaped and lying on the ground.
What do you mean human-shaped? What does that mean?
Ab, do you have pictures?
I mean, what does that mean? Human-shaped.
Immediate red flag.
Yeah.
Okay, so you found a body-shaped bag. Now what?
Call the police!
Logistically, well, if it is a dead body, police need to know. And I can't be calling the authorities all willy-nilly.
All William-nilliam out here in Kansas.
She says I have to confirm.
Oh my god. Abby!
At this point, my skin is crawling and my anxiety level is making my hands sweaty. There is absolutely no way I'm opening said potential body bag.
Then how are you going to confirm?
I don't want my fingerprints on it.
No shit, Jesus.
Nor do I want decomposed body aroma escaping.
I like how that's concern number two. Like, it's gonna smell yucky.
She says, a probing stick is what I need. So, oh god, alright, a probing stick is what I need. I easily found said stick and started investigating.
Oh. I just have a hard time because I know investigating in this case means poking a bag with a stick.
Yep. Okay. And we know Abby. So
we're playing it a little fast and loose with the term investigating.
Sweet Abby.
Oh, bless her.
Man, I wish I could have been there. It was hard to determine contents via the stick. I needed to get closer. Anxiety levels down, I don't know how. Determination setting in, I made the decision. Gonna prod it with my boot.
Oh.
The body part, body was in quotations, was squishy enough.
Oh god.
Could be any sort of trash or very decomposed biological material.
Oh.
Looking at its shape, the legs were either hacked off or folded under or to the side. It was a mixture of texture and solids underfoot.
No. Ew, no!
Girl, no!
Abby,
call the police!
What are you? You're still out here alone in the wilderness with a body in a bag. What are you doing?
She is pocket-sized.
Abby, Make better choices!
She can't. Oh, goodness. Okay, I came to the head part, which, and when my boot made a thud thud, Hebe's level 800, I noped myself right out of that ditch. Peace out.
About 20 minutes too late, but proud of you.
Yep. I fast walked myself in a different portion of the lines to start at. On my way there, though, a truck drove up and a brunette middle-aged man rolled down his window asking what I was doing. He said he had seen me up the road taking pictures and wanted to know what I was photographing. Like, no, hi, how are you? Nice day we're having, or general chat. Just straight up, saw you taking pictures up the road. What are you taking pictures of? And I was a little off guard and immediately slightly suspicious. Like, why do you care what I'm taking pictures of? And why are you watching me? The latter a bit less suspicious, since that's typical country people, but still. Not showing my suspicion, I responded truthfully, oh, just the wildflowers in the ditch. I like to take pictures of nature.
Not truthfully, she's out there working.
Right. Giving my best customer service smile, and then I gave him the standard explanation of my work.
Oh, okay.
He didn't seem all too interested and told me to have a good day and drove off. Needless to say, I finished my work there on heightened alert. And that concludes my tale.
She didn't call the police?
Abby!
Boo!
I'm gonna need you to go back.
Call the police!
Call the police! Give them your coordinates!
You didn't take a picture of the bag?
Did you hear about the TikTok...
The suitcase?
Yeah! They found the suitcase of a dead body.
Washed up.
Dead body parts.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's terrifying. If y'all find anything suspicious, just go ahead and, if you don't feel like investigating, call the non-emergency police help desk line.
Call the desk sergeant. They are easily found with a quick Google search of, like, your city name, desk sergeant.
Yeah.
It is a non-emergent police line. I'm, like, 99.9% sure it's anonymous.
Right.
You can just call in and report something suspicious, and then you can leave. Y'all don't even gotta be there when the police show up.
Unless you're curious AF like us.
And we would be picnicking
next to this.
Listen, we would call the police and be like, hi, we found a bag. We opened it. It had a body in it. We took a hair sample. We cross-referenced the photo ID on Facebook. We found her three nearest kin.
We have actually set up the perimeter because we know y'all don't know how to do that.
And I suspect the husband. Husband did it!
That's
a good moral of the story. That is another good fairy tale. When in doubt, call the police.
Help desk.
Call the help desk. Don't call 911.
Unless it is a true emergency. But your help desk is there to help you.
For this exact purpose.
Right. And if you're ever curious about crime rates in your area, you can also call the police sergeant help desk.
Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you.
Facts.
Search by zip code for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We're here to help you.
Public resources. Help you when we cannot help ourselves.
Truly.
So, thank you for listening. Follow us on the social meds.
Oh my god.
You made it a thing.
I did. I said it one time. I regret my decision.
I just didn't. You said it once and I have said it 408 times.
But we've always reverted back to me because I'm the one that started.
Uh-huh. I'm not willing to take responsibility for this. As a true Scorpio, this is not my fault.
And as a Libra, I'm just like, let's just balance it.
Can we just, like, not say it all the time? I say nay.
I mean, we're just going to make it a thing if that's what it's happening.
Follow us on the social medias, A Little Bit Grim, A Little Bit Grim Podcast, or any variation of that. If you love us, leave us a review.
If you don't say anything.
Or say something, but make it funny.
True. Yeah. I would appreciate that.
If you're going to leave a bad review, at least make it hysterical.
And if you want to send us a listener story, you can do that. You can send us your story at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com. It gives us joy in our hearts. So please do that. That's a lot of fun for us. And we'll see you next time for...
True crime. Nope. Folklore.
Folklore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at us knowing what's next.
I like how we sign off the podcast by saying, we'll see you next time. But like, no, we won't.
You'll hear us.
Hear us next time.
I
don't like that.
I don't either.
All right.
Bye.